You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the Irish Racing Podcast here at William Hill on Friday, October the 27th. I'm Andy Holding, looking at an eight-race programme once again, traditionally at Dundalk on this set Friday evening, beginning at 5:25 with the Claimer, ending at 9 o'clock with the mile and a quarter handicap. The highlight of the evening comes in the shape of the Cooley Filly Stakes, a listed affair at 7:30 over a mile. We'll get stuck into that in due course. Either side of that, plenty of competitive handicaps and big fields alike, as ever, at Ireland's only national all-weather circuit. We begin, as mentioned, with that 5:25, which is a 7-furlong claimer. Not too many of these bring obvious solid form credentials to the table, so I wouldn't get too carried away with getting stuck into this particular contest first one off the bat. However, I do quite like the chances here of Midnight Mud Crabs from the John Fean stable. Now, this filly, although she hasn't won for a while, she's been running fairly consistently in the last two or three starts, particularly her last two outings here at Dundalk over the course and distance. The first time out, she caught the eye when staying on from an uncompromising position to finish fourth behind the durable Shawnee back on the 3rd of October. And in behind her that day was Bonya and Melisandre. Now, she beat those two main market rivals fairly comfortably on that occasion, so there's no real reason to suggest why she shouldn't uphold the form. Although she didn't fail to build on that last time out, result-wise, she actually ran a good bit better than the form figures suggested. She was rather aggressively ridden by Dylan Hogan on that occasion. She basically had no chance of getting home in the latter stages. However, her speed figures are quite good in comparison to many of these over the course of time here at Dundalk. And there's every chance from a low draw that she could get an easy, uncontested lead, providing that Gary Halpin this time doesn't go absolutely crazy on her in the early stages. So Midnight Mud Crabs, a decent bet there in the first race, the 5:25.
Race 2.
On to the 6 o'clock then, which is a 5-furlong nursery. And Jose O'Brien has set punters a poser here by sending two horses to post in the shape of Burra Steps and Castro Giovanni. And despite Donico O'Brien, one would imagine, having the choice of the two, I'm going to go with the apprentice-ridden Castro Giovanni as my strongest bet on the card here in the hands of Shane Cross. Shane, very inexperienced pilot, who's only had two or three rides, but hopefully he can get the job done on this gelding of approved. It was hugely impressive the other day when winning the first race at Fairy House in a spectacularly good time for the grade. Not only did this horse win by 5.5 lengths, he posted the fastest furlong time on that particular card by quite some way, to clearly indicate that this horse is in right good spanking good form at the moment. I didn't think this race had much strength in depth to it, so hopefully with a decent break tonight and a decent ride from Shane on board, I'd expect Castro Giovanni to go in again. Certainly doesn't look too badly treated on the evidence of what we saw the other day.
Race number 3.
On to the 6:30 then, and it might well turn out that the key to this race is that contest here over the course on the 13th of October is where we're likely to find the winner here tonight, because both Harvest from the Moon and Bring on the Band lock horns once again. Now, Harvest of the World came out on top on that occasion. Nice effort by this filly by So You Think, and I do quite like that sire as well with regards to horses going forward for the future. I do think he's going to have quite a few winners in due course. And this filly, I thought, shaped really well behind Shalala, who, of course, had the benefit of several runs going into that contest. But I also like the run of that Bring on the Band. And I suppose if you look at this race from an each-way perspective, this one horse fits that criteria quite nicely, because from a bad draw, stall 13, this horse had very little chance of being competitive, given that this horse was about 7 or 8 lengths behind the main front runners turning into the home straight. So therefore, I thought that she did quite well to stay on and finish as close as she did. And also she challenged up the inside rail as well, which wouldn't necessarily be the place to be here at Dundalk. Much better drawn tonight. Hopefully with that run would have brought her on significantly enough. And with Colin Keane, of course, riding every horse as if his life depends on it at the moment, I'd certainly expect Bring on the Band to be in the frame at the very least. So 4-1, not a bad bet each way there for Joe Lyons' charge in the 6:30.
Race 4.
On to the 7 o'clock, and this looks a very competitive fare, one would have to suggest, over a mile. The big gamble of the race so far this morning is this Jock Talk, who ran really well over a mile and a quarter last time out when last seen. Once again, Pat Smullen has managed to be booked to ride this horse. Anything that Pat's getting on at the moment has certainly got to be given more than a second look. Going back in this horse's career history, and you'll know that quite a few of its better runs have come over a mile, so dropping back 2 furlongs shouldn't necessarily be a huge inconvenience. Only really the price, which is off-putting, currently 2-1 at time of recording with William Hill. So therefore, I'm going to look for something a little bit bigger and a bit juicy to get stuck into. And Sheila's Hope could well turn out to be just that for the John McConnell stable. This horse has just had the 3 runs to gain a statutory mark of 56. And there could be quite a degree of wriggle room when this horse is concerned, following quite an eye-catching run over 7 furlongs last time out behind Smuggler's Creek from the Mickey Halford stable. That turning in to the home straight with only 1 horse behind it. I quite like the way this filly by Casamento kept on quite willingly without being unduly punished in the latter stages by Colm O'Donoghue. Now, that run supposedly was meant to just bring this horse along with regards to handicaps. And if that is indeed the case tonight, then she should certainly go better than her odds suggest. Around about 16-1 this morning. I do think she offers quite a bit of each way appeal there in race number 4.
Race 5.
On to the 7:30 then, and this looks a humding of a contest for this listed fillies race. And I'm quite keen on Hunayna here, who made all the run in the hands of Pat Smullen to score, I thought, quite readily here early on in the season, albeit that was a handicap. It certainly contained plenty of informed horses such as Bell Boyd, and of course surrounding who's second in the Irish Cambridgeshire, and I actually thought that horse was a good thing that night. And I was really impressed by the way Hunayna dished out a solid beating to Mickey Halford's charge. So much so that I'm going to go with Hunayna here, because I do think Goldrush, albeit she's a very nice filly by Frankel, I think the drop back in trip just might catch her out. Of course, that was over a mile and a quarter when she was successful the last day. So Hunayna, nicely drawn. With Pat Smullen absolutely desperate to get every winner he possibly can in the bag to try and claw back at Colin Keane before the season's out. I certainly expect this filly by Tamayus to go very close to winning there for Smullen and Halford there in race number 5.
Race number 6.
On to the 8 o'clock then. And not a particularly strong race, it has to be said. I'll probably just play with a straight bat here and go with Red All Star, who's fairly reliable over this course and distance, albeit he's only won 1 in 12. He's certainly run many of his best races here in defeat at Ireland's only all-weather venue. And he comes off the back of a good win as well at Laytown the other day when he beat Boxer Dunford quite readily in the closing stages. And we know what Boxer Dunford's done. He's come here twice this season and he's absolutely bolted up for connection. So that form looks pretty strong. And off a mark of just 49, you'd expect this horse with a decent draw as well with Colin Keane on board to be hugely competitive here. 2 main dangers look to be 100 not out and Nora Batt. Nora Batt's got a terrible record on the all-weather though, so I'd probably cast her aside and suggest that 100 not out who won at Wolverhampton the day could be the main danger. So Red All-Star, very much one to keep an eye on there in race number 6.
Race 7.
On to the penultimate contest, which is Division 1 of the mile and a quarter handicap. And I'm quite keen here on Al Nahar, who's been a regular talked about horse on the podcast over the last few seasons. I do quite like this 7-year-old. He often pops up every now and again. And I certainly was taken by his run the other day over what turned out to be an inadequate mile when he finished a very creditable third behind Yamato. And of course, Park Row was in that particular contest. Now, both of these horses, Park Row and Al Nahar in question, do want a good bit further than a mile. So they're both coming out of that race with great credit. But Al Nahar is a horse, like I say, who I think has got the potential to be hugely more competitive over this sort of trip. In fact, he didn't get the clearest of runs as well in the closing stages in the hands of a £7 apprentice. He was definitely gaining hand over fist as the line approached. And I expect him to turn the form around with Park Row here on this particular occasion, particularly with Shane Foley on board, who's got on quite well with his seven-year-old in the past. So Al Nahar, available at back around about 8-1 this morning, which I do think is not a bad bit of each-way business. He's very much the choice there in the penultimate.
And the final race.
On to the final race then. Again, a very competitive looking mile and a quarter handicap. It's, of course, Division 2 of this particular contest. And I'm quite keen here on Prunella Dobbs's Carried, who is been a grand servant for Connections over the last few seasons. Indeed, all his best runs have come here at this venue in the last couple of years, and his time figures are always worth noting in a race of this nature. In fact, he's got three of the four fastest times in the book going into this contest. Not only that, I thought he ran really well the other day in a very competitive mile and a half handicap, in the end won by Abraham, but there was plenty of good and strongly fancied horses in behind in that day to suggest he's going to come back to winning form sooner rather than later. Now, you could argue that his best distance is a mile and a quarter, but he does go a good gallop from the front here, or he certainly likes to race up with the speed. So it wouldn't surprise me that he was just as effective over this distance as he is over the 12 furlongs. Although he's slightly trickily drawn in stall 13, hopefully Colin Keane can bounce him out and get him up towards the head of affairs in the early stage. And if so, it's hard to see this seven-year-old, who wears his heart on his sleeve, not running well for us there in the final race. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast then. Hopefully you can join us again on Sunday, when we're going to be taking a look at Galway's seven race jump programme beginning at 1:05. Some decent action there, likely to be had at Ballybrit. Until then, it's a very goodbye for me.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.